Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins.
A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
A voice is cry, and I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever.
Go on up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young.
Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and marked out the heavens with a span, enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has measured the spirit of the Lord, or what man shows him his counsel? Whom did he consult, and who made him understand? Who taught him the path of justice and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding?
Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as the dust on the scales. Behold, he takes up the coastlands like fine dust. Lebanon would not suffice for fuel, nor are its beasts enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are accounted by him as less than nothing and emptiness.
To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness compare with him? An idol? A craftsman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and casts for it silver chains. He who is too impoverished for an offering chooses wood that will not rot. He seeks out a skillful craftsman to set up an idol that will not move.
Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown. Scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth when he blows on them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble.
To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name. By the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing.
Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Why, even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. And then altogether, let's say 31. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And you may be seated. as we conclude our series from Isaiah chapter 40. By the way, I said conclude, and I hope you're disappointed about that, because there's so much truth here. There's so much truth. After all, this portion of God's word has captured the hearts and the minds of God's people throughout history. As a matter of fact, there are many that consider this passage of Scripture, especially verse 31, as very good for decoration. Decoration. You'll see Isaiah 40, 31 engraved on stones like this one that sits in my office. Or you'll see Isaiah 31 pictured with eagles on pictures like this, which actually hangs in my barn even. But I'm here to tell you today, and you hopefully already know this, that this text of Scripture is a whole lot more than decoration. This is a declaration of God and His power, His wisdom, His justice, and even the great nations throughout history are a drop in a bucket compared to Him. You see, Isaiah 40 reveals the Lord in all His glory and greatness. And as we read these words and we consider the works of His hands, the moons and the stars which He has set in place, it makes us better understand why the King of Israel, David himself, who expressed his feelings in this way, he said, "When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them." That helps us understand David's emotion from Psalm 8. But I'm fearful that we might end this study in this great chapter of Scripture and feel so small in light of God's greatness. It is possible that we'll even feel forgotten by Him. And yes, by the way, we are frail and fading, and we've seen that in this chapter. But Isaiah 40, 27 through 31, the text for this morning, assures us that God knows, cares, and strengthens us. So let's not finish this series from this wonderful chapter thinking that God is too great to care about little old me, oh me. Let's not end there. But instead, let's understand, church, let's understand that we have a great God who isn't too distant to care for the smallest details of our lives. We must realize that He is too great to fail in caring for us. He strengthens us to soar, run, walk. It is He who renews us in our weakness. It is God. He renews us in our weakness. Now, these words were written originally to the nation of Israel. And how did the nation of Israel respond to their stresses and struggles and captivities and wilderness wanderings? What were the responses of the people? Well, all too often, like us, they went through these times of struggles and pressures and stresses in life, and they came to some faulty conclusions and their questions that God raised, and you can see it in Isaiah 40. Look at verse 27 in your Bibles. You can see it right there. Here's their faulty conclusions. "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord. My right is disregarded by my God. By the way, it sounds repetitive, doesn't it? Did you hear the word say? Did you hear the word speak? Two repetitive words, but this repetition is actually in the language and in perfect tense. And you're saying, oh, what's the big deal about that? Well, here's the big deal about that. When we see the imperfect tense, those two words in the imperfect tense, it's telling us that this is a habitual attitude of saying the same thing again and again and again. And was that common for Israel? Was it common when they went through these stresses, when they had things pressing in on them? Was it common for them to question God? Oh, yeah. Yes, it was. They had a track record of grumbling about their needs. And this grumbling was rooted from a lack of trust in God and his character and his goodness and care for them. It's a repeated theme. It cycles again and again as we read through the history of the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. It's repetitive. And by the way, don't point your fingers at Israel with first asking yourself, how am I doing in my struggles? Am I prone to grumbling, complaining, questioning? See, that's what often happens when we go through those times. It leads us to some faulty conclusions. And you can see that in verse 27. The first one is, my way is hidden from the Lord. Thinking that God doesn't know about my struggles. He doesn't even know what I'm going through. It might sound like, hey, God, look at this mess here I'm in. You don't even know what I'm going through here. We might not say that verbally, but that could be the repetitive complaint, grumbling, that rolling around in our head when we go through pressure moments. It might be an attitude of desperation. It might sound like this in my head. I think I'm the only one who understands this painful trial that I'm going through right now. It could roll around in our head sounding like that. That's the first faulty conclusion. There's another one, though. It's that God doesn't care about my rights. He doesn't even care about my rights. You can see it. It says, my right is disregarded by my God. Or as another translation puts it, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God. That's another translation puts it. It might sound like this faulty conclusion as it rolls around in my thinking. It might sound like, Lord, now I deserve better than this. After all, I've been serving you. I've done nothing wrong. I've attempted to live faithfully for you. Do you even care what's happening to me? I have a right for better than this. This is that second faulty conclusion that often comes when we're wrestling through trying times. But you know, these two conclusions come when we forget the truth from the Holy Scriptures. When we forget them. Here's a few of them, the forgotten truths that we've already seen in chapter 40, but they're mentioned here. It's forgotten truths. It's the first category is God's greatness, and we've seen that again and again in chapter 40. So how could we forget this? But I'm thinking that we do. We forget the truth that God is eternal. He is eternal. That's in verse 28. The Lord is the everlasting God. He's eternal. That's a truth about our God. And we've seen it in verse 21 where it says, from the foundations of the earth, it is He that sits above the circle of the earth. That's our God from the foundation of the earth. He is eternal. Even before He created the world, He existed. And that's the second truth that we forget. He is Creator. He is creator. That's verse 28, the creator of the ends of the earth. We saw this in verse 22 earlier in the chapter when it talks about him stretching out the heavens like a curtain. And he spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He's the creator. This blows our mind to think how God can create all. But that's who he is. He's the creator. In verse 26, it talks about him lifting, or about us. We need to lift our up. Slow down. We need to lift our eyes up on high, and see who created these. This is our creator God. And he is invincible. He is invincible. You see that in verse 28 as well, when it says, he does not faint or grow weary. He's invincible. Back to verse 26, it talks about he is strong in power. That's our God. I'll give you one more truth not to forget, is he's inexhaustible. He's inexhaustible. And there's not a person in this room that doesn't get tired. Matter of fact, there's a lot of people in this room looking forward to a nap this afternoon, and I'm on the top of that list. We get tired, exhausted, but he is inexhaustible. He just doesn't get tired. His understanding is unsearchable. It's inexhaustible. You can't fathom his understanding. By the way, pause. Do you stand amazed? Do you stand amazed at the Lord's greatness? And that's the truth of our God that we cannot forget, especially in those moments of stresses and struggles. Don't forget his greatness. But secondly, well, let me pause and tell you one more thing about that, because I was ministered to this week by someone that's going through a stress situation. And when this man called me, I quickly answered the phone because I thought, I knew what he's going through. I thought maybe he had a need. Answered the phone, and he said, yeah, Pastor David, I was just thinking about God's omnipresence. And I was going to add, and then there's the omniscience. And then there's a third one. What is that, Pastor David? So he's going through this stressful situation, but he called to tell me about the character of God. Does that minister to you? That's the type of people we need to be. We need to stand amazed at the greatness of our God, even in the midst of life's stresses and demands. And that's the testimony of someone who hasn't forgotten. But there's another truth about God that we can't forget. Not only is he great, but he is gracious. He is gracious. And that's the message of verse 29, why he, God, gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. So the question is, who is it that enables us when we are faint? Who is it that gives us might when we are weak? Who is it? Do I need to read the verse again? The answer is obvious. He gives power to the faint. To him who has no might, he increases strength. It is our God who strengthens us in our weakness. It's him. When we are weak, he strengthens us. And we must understand his grace is sufficient for us. For our power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, we must boast all the more because our weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on us. That is why, for Christ's sake, we can delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, and in difficulties. We can delight in those. You're saying, what do you mean, be happy. We can delight, we can take joy in knowing that he gets the glory even in the midst of our struggle. And that's a truth that we have a hard time understanding. He gets the glory because when we are weak, then we become strong through his enablement, and he gets the glory and I don't. Well, it's these two forgotten truths, the Lord's greatness and his graciousness, and they're essential. It's essential for us to remember and don't allow these false conclusions that he doesn't know, he doesn't care. It's essential we remember those truths about God so we don't believe those false lies that often play around in our minds. Well, you know, you're smart people, so you're thinking, yeah, okay, Pastor Dave, I got it. I know that. But why does this happen to me when I'm going through demand or a tough time? Why do I forget what I know to be true? Why? Or how can I overcome and remember? Well, I like it that Isaiah has already answered this for us back in chapter 26. You don't have to turn there. But in Isaiah 26, it gives us a secret. It says, you keep him in peace, whose mind is what? Do you know the end to this? Is stayed on you. Because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock, solid, secure. We can trust in him. And the way we can be reminded of that truth is disciplining ourselves, being intentional, that our minds be stayed on him. Now, sounds simple, but let me just say, we need to have God's word so tucked away into our minds, in our hearts, so tucked away that when we speak to the people around us, we will be mindful of the truth of Scripture. We ought to have a Scripture on mind when a brother's or a sister's going through a demanding time. We ought to be able to say without much thought, you know, no temptation is overcoming you except for what is common to men. I know it's tough, but God is faithful. And he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But with the temptation, he will. He's promised that he's going to provide a way of escape that you can bear up under it. Now, you got to be careful when you say that and how you say that, but you ought to be ready to encourage a brother or a sister or a friend or a family member with the truth of the Scriptures, because God has given us the Helper, and he doesn't just live with us, but he lives within us. And I'm talking about the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God takes the truth of God, his word, and takes the people of God and reminds us of the truth that we need during those times when we might be tempted to come to false conclusions. We need each other. Look around you, church. You're surrounded by brothers and sisters, and we care for one another. We need each other. So I ask you a question. Are you taking advantage of the many ministry opportunities that surround you to remind you of the truth of God? Well, even here at Shawnee, well, you'll have a golden opportunity tonight. If you're a man in the room, join us for Men's Equip. And men will gather together to remind each other of truth about God. The women, I haven't been to Women's Equip, but I assume they do the same thing. Is that right, ladies? Kids, we have creative kids. The intent is to remind each other of truth. And then on Wednesday night, Does the Awana program try to instill Scripture and the truth of God into the lives of children? You bet it does. Pastor Ham, you'll gather with the teens on Wednesday night. I assume that'll be a part of that too, is reminding teens of the truth of Scripture. And then there's a group of about 20 adults, and we'll gather in the little conference room over here, and we'll gather there to pray, but we'll also take time to remind each other of these truths. So how do you keep your mind stayed on Him? It's by taking advantage of what God has provided for you. Spend time in His Word. Spend time with His people. Listen to His Spirit. These are all ways so important. And this is how He renews our strength so we might be faith-filled people. He renews our strength in this way. And you can see this in verses 30 and 31. Now, let's be clear that we can't keep this journey of faith in our own strength, because flesh-filled people eventually fail. That's true. Flesh-filled people eventually fail, because it says in verse 30, even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. Now, I like the structure in my study. I figured out that the structure here, that fell exhausted, in the original language, it's an infinitive absolute that literally means stumble, they will stumble. In other words, there's a real emphasis on how bad they're going to fall. That's the literal meaning here. These young men stumble bad. And we see how people have stumbled in their relationship and walk with the Lord. Why, even the Galatians. It's recorded in Galatians that they started strong, they accepted Christ by faith, but they started to try to live out their Christian life in their own strength. They failed. They were a group of people that were failing, trusting their own flesh, and eventually they fail. We need to be, instead, faith-filled people that gain renewed strength. And that's the message of 31. And you've been waiting for me to get to this verse because it's so well known, where it says, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. By the word, the word wait needs some definition, because when we think about wait, you think about what you do in the dentist office. You get there, you park in the parking lot, you go sit in a chair for the next 30 minutes waiting to be seen by the dentist or the doctor. That's a miserable place to be, in the waiting room, right? You think of that, but don't think of that, because when we talk about waiting for the Lord, it means to look with hope, expectation, expecting Him to do what He has promised to do. It's as we wait that we meditate and we're reminded of His character, that He's going to keep His word, His promises. He's going to receive the glory for all that I'm going through. We are saved by faith through grace, and we must continue living by faith, waiting on our Lord, and with hopeful expectation that we will overcome, because He will strengthen us, trusting in His great and gracious ability to bring me safely into His presence. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And what? They shall mount up with wings like eagles. When was the last time you saw an eagle? Well, there's a few people in the room that were on a pontoon boat 2 weeks ago out here in Shawnee Lake, and we saw an eagle on top of a tree. It didn't soar for us. That was a disappointment. But you have the visual image of eagles soaring, don't you? And throughout the Scripture, even in Exodus chapter 19, there's an account where God delivered Israel from the Egyptians. And it talks about them, how they were carried on eagle's wings and how they were escaped Egypt as they were brought to safety, much like an eagle would carry its young away. It's a picture that's seen throughout the scriptures, and it hasn't gone away. The phrase to mount up means to ascend, like an eagle would ascend, overcoming the altitude. And here in this text of scripture, Isaiah is telling us, as he's recording the word of the Lord, that we can soar over, we can overcome these stresses because we are waiting expectantly for the Lord to give us strength to help us through whatever we're going through. It's a faith-filled trusting in God and His grace to provide whatever we need that will give us the power and the strength and the courage so we won't be overwhelmed. But we must be patient and wait on Him, trusting in His promise. And He will help us to mount up with wings like eagles. And it says, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. All three, soaring, running, walking, they all three can make you pretty tired. Now, I haven't actually soared before, and you probably haven't either, but you probably have ran, you probably have walked, and you know that those things make you tired. Make us tired. We know, though, that all three are making progress. They're not in a stagnant state. They're progressing. And that's what the Lord's calling us to trust in His strength, to move forward in our journey of faith, even when we think we can't take another step. And some of you are there. Some of you are here today thinking, I cannot take another step. I'm spent. I'm wore out. I'm exhausted. I'm here to tell you, you can progress in your journey of faith. You can trust the Lord to give you the strength to go through whatever He's called you to at this moment. So the questions that we're going to end with are personal, and then we're going to sing together. But it's really a question for you to examine your own thinking. Or as you think about your thinking, what you're thinking in your mind during those times, are you thinking that God doesn't know? God doesn't care? Is that your thinking? Have you forgotten the truth that God is great, but He is also gracious? He is for you. He loves you, and He wants you to trust in Him. And that's really the second question. Who will you trust? Who will you trust? There's probably some in the room that haven't put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Scriptures are quite clear that we need to believe on Jesus for the forgiveness of our sin. But it doesn't end there. We got to continue to trust Him. Trust the Lord. Trust in Him. And as the music team comes, because we're gonna sing a couple songs about this text of Scripture, songs that remind us to trust our Lord, I'm going to turn your thinking to this psalm. Just listen. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Psalm 37. This morning, I don't know what you're going through, but we're gonna praise the Lord together with our singing because He is our everlasting God. But this morning, if we can pray with you, I'm going to stand right down here, and if I can pray with you or find someone to pray with you, I'd be happy to do that. Or if you just want to kneel at these steps or sit on the front seat and just pray alone. You can do that. We're here for you. We're here for you. But more importantly, God is for you. Let's sing.